Yes, that's us. Welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Melbourne town. Joey, I don't know what it is, but just on Saturday mornings, we get together and the sun just shines, mate. It's good to see you. How are you, old mate?
Very well, thank you. Yeah, nice morning. Not as good as the weather was in Byron Bay, but it's nice to be back in Melbourne here and in the studio with you guys anyway. Looking forward to another big show.
He's the 287-game, two-time All-Australian superstar. You are looking tanned, Joey. You're looking refreshed. You're looking revitalized on your week-long holiday, your first holiday with your little man, Noah, is that right?
Yeah, so, first family holiday.
How did that go, mate? Nice and relaxing for you, or you sort of took it easy out there?
Holidays aren't quite the same when you go away with a family. It's basically the same routine, just in a different place, but it was our first family holiday, and a bit nervous, must admit, the first flight. You're always, as a first-time parent, not sure how you'll go, and he didn't let us down. He was hysterical for about an hour on the flight on the way up, and I thought, oh dear, but on the way home, he was much better. And apologies to Tim Clark, the former Hawthorn player, who's now, he was assistant coach at Carlton.
Good man.
Now at the Gold Coast Suns. We sat next to him on the flight. He drew the short straw, Rosie, and got stuck next to us. So all credit to him. He was a good trooper, but poor Noah. Yeah, didn't like his first plane experience, but he settled after that, and we had a great holiday.
Nice and romantic, Joe, your first sort of
romance sort of is a bit harder too when you've got a little man as well. So
You hold him.
We took it in turns of sitting by the pool, relaxing while the other one played with Noah. But it was awesome to get away and good to be back.
Oh, yeah. Good morning to you, Rosie. Well, we're going to get to this a little bit later in the show.
You're out of sorts.
Yeah, I got a fair dilemma later on. I got a good mate's wedding, March 2 up there in Byron. We're committed, a big sort of stay up there for a couple of weeks. But there's also a big concert, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, my favourite band pretty much well forever. I've previously slept out in the street to get tickets to these guys in Geelong, and it just could you believe it that they happen to be playing in Melbourne on the same day as the wedding? Like, can you? I know you're very good friend's wedding. You're very influential in the rock scene. Can you change the date of the Chili Peppers concert by any chance?
Sure. I'll just get on the phone to Flea.
Yeah,
it's not a problem. We'll talk to you about this.
Yeah, later. We'll
you
get
some help.
We'll get stuck into that. Now, I also heard you made your AFL Nines comeback, Joey.
Yes,
during the week.
I did. I went and saw a good mate, Justin Kaczynski's now living up at Athletics Head up there. So I spent a bit of time with him, and his Wednesday nights now, he plays AFL Nines in a mixed comp.
How'd
so I went down and just had a little run. It was the only exercise.
You took it over.
You know what I did? I took my
runners. You're one of those serious types.
I'm not at all. You know what I did do? I took my runners. I packed about three sets of running gear, had the best intentions on this holiday to get up, go for a run, run to the lighthouse at Byron Bay.
As you do.
Do you think I did any of that, Rosie? The only thing I did was play AFL Nines for 20 minutes. Was the only bit of exercise I did.
Oh, run to the bottle shop before it closed.
It was a bit like that.
So you teamed up with Cozzy, and did you sort of, did you win? Did you lose?
Well,
did you get a few kicks? What happened?
I'm not one of these overly competitive guys when it gets to that sort of setting. So I didn't want to show off in the AFL Nines. I just filled in the back line.
But
at halftime we were losing. And that the team had a bit of a pep talk going, we can't lose this AFL Nines game. We're two goals down.
Yep.
So I started on the bench in the second half because it's not my team. I was just filling in. But then I thought, okay, I'll just sneak on forward and just get us in front. So I kicked four goals in four minutes, and then I came off and let the team have a win. But it was good fun to play in that first experience of AFL Nines.
Just came on and kicked a lazy four to get the team over.
Well, I was playing on some backpacker who played soccer. He's never played AFL in his life. So it wasn't like I was playing on Alex Rance or anything. But anyway, it was good fun.
Oh, backpacker Huey from Byron.
He had no idea.
We got a massive show. We're speaking to Kevin Sheen, the AFL draft guru. Next, you're going to get your teammate on, Nick Riewoldt, in the next hour, talking US sports. So much happening. Mark Bosnich, who is the AFL's greatest socceroo, Joey? Who is soccer's greatest socceroo? Australia's greatest socceroo. Third time. We'll get to that. I've got to give me a spell segment for the absolute ages. I got something from the archives for you from 10 years ago, which I can't wait to get stuck into. How you got drafted, and much, much more. But coming up next, we're going to speak to Kevin Sheehan about why Carlton, with its number one pick, should pick a certain midfielder. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. I've previously had a lot of trouble with this name, Joey, so I'm going to try it again. Hopefully I'll get this right. That was Bruce Springsteen with Dancing in the Dark. Thank you, Rosie. I've stuffed that up
the
a
boss.
Few times.
Just call him the boss.
I should.
Can't get it wrong. Everyone knows who the boss is.
How's the old radio career going? Hey, speaking of bosses, I want to introduce this man because he knows all things draft, been a guru for a very long time. Good morning to you, Kevin Sheehan.
Jay and Joey, great to be with you guys, hey? Just less than a week to go to the biggest night in the year for, I suppose, the young hopefuls that are out there.
It's going to be a massive night, of course, the AFL draft coming up. Shifter, can I just ask you about 2001? Do you sort of remember a very skillful, maybe a bit plumpy sort of Italian kid who came along with pick 37?
Plumpy? No, you, I'm no, plumpy you were, now. I was a skinny little runt back in 2001.
What was Joey? Do you remember Joey
kilos.
Back?
I do so. The dash was there. Very outside he was. He's the one that needed the fence to keep him in. No, but no, he's the dasher. Absolute dasher. Choice 37. That draft, Joey, I was reflecting a little bit during the week. There were 17 guys that played more than 200 games. That's wow. Why it's the super draft. There were 5 Brownlow medalists. In fact, you look it up, 29 more than 100 games. So that's a 50% strike rate in terms of guys being pretty useful players, but it's the champions at the top. Gee, Montagna, he's up there with Hodgson, Bartel, Del Santo, James Kelly, Stevie J, Sammy Mitchell, Gary Ablett Jr., of course. What a draft it was. And some people, and we're comparing this draft to that super draft of 17-odd years ago. So we're very bullish about what's about to come into the AFL comp.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, Shifter. I'm hearing that this draft is going to be compared to that 2001 Can't super be. Draft, but let's be honest, they've got pretty big shoes to fill. You just read out some of the accolades. Is this crop going to be as good as the 2001 crop?
No.
Well, we're crystal balling, of course, aren't we? But I tell you what, early, we'll tell you about some of the boys early, and the names that I think the fans out there will get used to. They'll turn into household names in the AFL world, no doubt. The King Twins, everyone will talk about them in the next week. They'll be the first ever twins to go in the top 10. There's no doubt about that. And only about the 6th set of twins in draft history. The Scott boys, of course, the Loneys. Can you get the others? The Phoebes were in the first ever draft 33 years ago, and they went to the same club, Matthew and Stephen. Phoebe went to Melbourne. So there hasn't been that many. The Wakelands, of course. But these boys, they are massive. 204 centimetres is max, so that's 6'8". And his brother is 202. So again, just a smidgen under the 6'8". They're big boys. Max is the one that did the ACL early in the year after kicking 8 in the first game. He looked like the certain number one.
Boy.
And he's been doing his rehab down with the Saints too. Joey?
I've seen that, Shifter, and I want to ask you, sorry there to cut you off, about these tools, because we've seen the last two drafts that key forwards haven't necessarily gone in as early as they did previously. Are clubs starting to get a little bit scarred by these tall forwards that are the best players in under-18s? And we look at Tom Boyd, Paddy McCartan, Shacky, Peter Wright, they're all top 10 draft picks that haven't quite yet delivered at AFL level. Is that the bit of the, I suppose, the nervousness about these King boys taken so high in the draft?
Well, they're all a wee bit different, all the boys you mentioned too. And you look at these boys, and Max is, we said about the knee, but he's a boy that's pretty special. He's quick and agile. He's not your just a big-bodied, tall forward that with one trick like a big, strong mark that plays inside 50. He gets around the ground magnificently. So his athletic ability, he's marking at the highest point. Reminds us of a Tom Lynch, the Tom Lynch from up. Well, down to the Tigers now from the Gold Coast.
Now you're talking, Shifter.
200 centimetres, that type of guy. Whereas Ben King, maybe a Harris Andrews, you'd think of him, or even a Joey Danaher, someone like that. Lightly built, but he can play both ends of the ground, Ben. He could go down back for a start where he was. The best player for the Australian under-18s early in the year, they play one game as a national squad against a VFL opponent, normally made up, it was the North Melbourne team this year, made up of about 15 listed players. He was the MVP on the ground playing in defence. So these boys are ready to step up and play. It's their speed and agility that sets them apart. They mark it at the highest point like Joey Danaher at his best. So I think they're very worthy, top fives, even as tight as that, I reckon, the pair of them. But throw in two other tall boys, Lukosius, Precocious.
Yep.
It'll be said many times in the next decade about this tall forward who could also go to centre-half back. So if it's a bit tough on the young, lighter body early up forward, and it can be the way the game's played now, put him at centre-half back. He's an outstanding athlete. He reminds me of Nick, a young Nick Revolt, really, who did start back as a kid at 17 before he got to St Kilda. In his 17th years back, then he went forward the next year and become the number one choice and one of the great stars of the game. And this boy is very much like him with his smooth running, his natural feel for the ball in the air, whether it's on the lead. He gets off his opponents with his speed and then he works them over as well like Nick did.
Like,
that boy, and there's a kid called Nick Blakey who'll be bid for. He'll probably be the first bid. Son of John, of course, that have chosen the Swans as his club. He could have gone to, up there with the Lions or to the Kangaroos under the father-son rule, but has chosen the Swans. So he'll be subject to a bid. The other clubs will decide his value. Someone will bid there, and the Swans have got to then upgrade using points to take him at the spot where he's bid. And I think that'll be in the top 10, somewhere in the top 10. So they're four tall boys that'll be in that 10.
It's a perfect rundown, Shifter, mate. We appreciate that. Just very quickly, do you think Patrick Dangerfield said Sam Walsh could have played AFL this year? How much impact can he have for the Blues next season before we let you go?
Well, if they take him, and I suppose they will, look, he's like a Bryce Gibbs or a Mark Murphy that played straight away. They took them as midfielders and... very composed young man. He's a jet. Absolutely.
Well, we look forward to the draft, mate. We absolutely can't wait for it. Thank you for the rundown on the top 10 players. You do that better than anyone else. We can't wait for the AFL draft next week. Kevin Sheehan, we thank you for your time this morning.
All the best, boys. Looking forward to it.
He's the guru. And you remember Joey, that silky outside
yes.
play?
I was worried he was going to go through every player in the top 10 in that segment. I thought, oh, no, he hasn't got up to pick 8 and 9 yet. But he knows a lot, and it'll be interesting to see. And we'll recap next Saturday for the show after the draft and have a look at how the club's all fared.
Hey, Saturday scoreboard next. I want to ask you, ahead of the Socceroos game tonight, who do you think is Australia's greatest Socceroo? Jay Clark, Lee Montagna. More next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Get ready, Melbourne, for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert. Catch Anthony, Flea, John and Chad playing their huge catalogue of hits, Jay.
Absolutely cannot miss songs like Scar Tissue, Joey, Californication, Suck My Kiss, Aeroplane, I love that, Around the World and so many more. American Express card members have first access to tickets. Pre-sale, of course, starts 10 a.m. next Wednesday.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers at Rod Laver Arena on February 28. See amexinvites.com.au for all the details.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Saturday scoreboard time, Jay, and not a lot of local sport this weekend. The A-League has stopped because of the internationals, and we'll chat to Mark Bosnich later in the second hour to chat about the internationals for the Socceroos. But the NBL was on last night. Our boys, Melbourne United, 108-101 victory over New Zealand off the back of 24 points from our boy Casper Ware.
We're going back-to-back, Joey, aren't we?
Well, they're second on the ladder at the moment, yep. Melbourne, and looking really solid. So they're certainly in the mix. And there's the new Melbourne team has been announced. They're going to be called the South East Melbourne Phoenix, which is exciting for Melbourne basketball out there in Nunawading.
You've been playing a bit of hoops, haven't you, Joey?
I do. I now play a bit of Wednesday night basketball. Yep. Again, that's my form of getting some exercise.
How's the stroke?
Oh, it's been a bit rusty, but I'm slowly getting back into it. Some cricket. Australia play a 2020 against South Africa tonight at Metricon Stadium. Yep. So that'll be at 6:20. Hopefully our boys can do a bit better than the one-day series. While the women's team face India in the 2020 World Cup for the ICC women. So they're going really well at this stage too.
It's a big night for Chris Lynn, isn't it? Like, he has the tools to be arguably the best T20 player in the world or thereabouts in the top five. And he's just not, you know, having that impact. That is his specialist part of the game. We're all behind you, Chris Lynn, because we know he can be an absolute superstar in that format of the game.
It does feel as part of our, we're a bit behind in the 2020 world scene, aren't we, compared to a few of the other nations. So hopefully we can perform much better there. And as I said, we'll touch on it later on. We'll talk to Mark Bosnich, but the Socceroos play South Korea tonight at Suncorp Stadium in a friendly. So looking forward to that. And then they'll play Lebanon on Tuesday night, which will be Tim Cahill's farewell match.
Can I ask you about that, Joey?
Yep.
Who do you think is Australia's greatest Socceroo? Like, we sort of had this chat before the show, and you just instantly thought it was Tim Cahill.
Has to be.
Really?
I think so.
Well,
who do you think?
Well, I wondered whether Harry Kewell. I mean, I just think back to that big game against Croatia, 2006 World Cup. You know, to go through, he kicked that 79th minute goal. I mean, it has to be Harry. He's just always felt like our golden child. I know Tim Cahill's had some massive moments, but is he as talented as Kewell, or was he as good a player as Kewell?
You know what? Let's say, and let's ask Mark Bosnich.
Right, he'd
know more than me about that. So we'll chat to Bozza, and also some NFL results. The Seattle Seahawks played Green Bay Thursday Night Football, defeated the Green Bay Packers 27-24.
Yep.
And after this song, we'll be chatting to Nick Riewoldt over in the US, who's up to date with all the American sports. There's plenty happening in the NFL and NBA around free agency, some bit of controversy too. So after this, we'll chat to Nick Riewoldt live from the US, all things American sport.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Hey, Joey, good mate, Nicky Riewoldt, joining us in 5 minutes to talk about some US sports stuff and a big blow up in the NBA between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. Interesting who we are side with there, but I found something from the archives from you, mate. In the old Triple M scrapbook here, we've got an article from 2007.
Who keeps that?
Real Q&A style, going deep diving with Lee Montagna. I just want to revisit some of your answers to some of these questions, if that's all right. Now, I'm going to start with the really hard stuff. The question is, which teammate has the best-looking girlfriend? Who did you say, do you reckon?
Who had
the best-looking girlfriend?
I can't even remember 2007.
Who might you have said, do you reckon?
2007?
Yeah, anyone in particular you sort of had the hots for? In
you? God. Nah,
anyone come to mind here? Aaron will be listening, I'm
11
sure.
Years. It was before I met Aaron. I was single at that stage. In 2007, it would have been maybe Justin Peckett.
He said, Frankie Peckett. He said, no, I'm a fan of Ballie's girlfriend, Amy.
I was looking after a mate there.
Did Luke Ball sort of read that and just confront you? Hey, Joey,
I've got no idea. Hello, Amy and Luke. Are you listening?
Your next one. What annoys you about Ross Lyon? What might have annoyed you about your senior coach, Joey?
That he never finished his sentences. He started the next sentence before he finished his previous one.
Well, you say he says the reality is way too much.
Ross always starts
a sentence with the reality is.
The reality is it's the running game. It's here to stay. Yeah. Got to be able to run. Like the reality is you've got to be able to run.
Now, who struggled with that? Who would duck their head when he said that sort of comment? Who didn't get the GPS up?
Luke Ball in the end. Luke Ball struggled with the run. Nick Del Santo too. Nick Del Santo used to struggle, but used to get the footies, and that was his comeback.
What he used to call Del? He had a nickname for him.
Pup.
Hot dog.
That wasn't hot dog. That was just a general nickname for guys. Oh yeah, Del, because he used to hang the football out and held it like a hot dog in his hand. You know, Del used to sort of hold it out there. But that was Del's trick. That's why no one could tackle him.
But didn't he sort of take the mickey out of him?
Hot dog. He did. We got plenty of Ross impersonations.
I like that. Now, if you had to play for another coach, who would it be? Joey, who did you say?
In 2007.
Yep. Which other coach did you really respect and admire back in 2007? You've said Paul Roos.
Oh, yeah, good one, Roosie.
Good call. Absolutely. He missed out on Clarko. He was about to become one of the greatest coaches of all time. Yep. Now, this is the real big one, right?
The hard-hitting stuff. Who was the journalist?
I'm not sure. Doesn't say. Now, this says,
this riveting stuff,
which radio station do you listen to, Joey?
Triple M. Bang.
You say... Drum roll, please.
Triple M.
If you haven't said Triple M here, you're in big trouble. He says, I'm a Triple M fan. They make me laugh.
But this
is about the time the station gave Sammy Newman the arse, and it says, you're going to miss Sam. And you say, no, I'll be better without him. You get over him always bagging the game. Triple M is so good at making the game entertaining, and Sam just tended to bring it down.
Oh, that's a fair comment.
I've heard you say that to me a few times, I think. And then you talk about living with Cozzy and how you guys are an old married couple.
Yep.
And how you do all of his tidying up. Was he really that messy?
Yeah, he was
back
messy
in the day?
Yeah, and like, I was, yep.
Well,
yep.
Give us, what was the state of affairs in the kitchen?
Oh, just the old, you know, leave the plates on the sink, not put away his clothes and that sort of stuff. But I've always been a tidy person, so I used to tidy up his stuff.
Okay. Yep. Well, you give him a pump up here. You say he's going to be your X Factor. I think this is about the time that he'd been knocked out about three times in a season. Now, he asks you, who's the best player in the competition? Who'd you say?
In 2007.
Yeah, who do you reckon?
God, man, you reckon. This is 2007.
Well, it was clearly Juddy.
Yeah, Juddy.
It was clearly Juddy. Yep. So who was second? Who do you think was second?
Gaz was on the cusp, but in 2007, well, it'd be still like one of the Brisbane, maybe Simon Black still.
You've said Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson?
The Western Bulldogs legend.
There you go. Yeah.
You said we were talking yesterday about how good Brad Johnson is. Brad Johnson is an absolute
star. He was underrated.
Yep. Why?
Well, I think if you look at it now, he's a bit ahead of his time for that player that we talk about now, the best players in the game. Everyone agrees are these key forwards that can kick. Well, they're not key forward. The forwards that can kick goals like Dustin Martin, Jordan De Goey. They push forward, but they can also go in the midfield and get 25, 30 touches. Brad Johnson was ahead of his time. He was that player that could kick five or six goals out of the goal square, still get his 25, 30 touches. Now they are, they're universally known as the best players in the comp. So Brad
Johnson was ahead of his time. He was ahead of his time. And the photo here, it's not your best photo, is it, Joey?
They could have picked a better photo, but we're on Radio J. No one can see that. So.
You're sort of looking quizzical into the distance. The last question was ninth in the best and first last year. How would you like to be seen at the end of this year? And you just said, I don't worry about all those individual accolades and rewards. I just want to be known as a team man, Joey.
Exactly right. Just want to be a trusted, respected teammate to all any player wants.
That's basically what he said. So nice little Q&A, Joey. How'd you go with the media over your career? Did you enjoy doing that sort of stuff? We had a catch-up down at Albert Park one time.
Right from the start, I was always open to the media. I remember Mark Robinson in my first year coming down to Tassie and sitting in the dugout with me because I had a bad corky and I couldn't train, and having a chat to Robbo back in 2002. And
Did you have a dart in his mouth?
He smelt like cigarettes, yeah.
No, we love you, Mark. We know you'll be listening. Hey, next we're going to be talking to one of your old teammates, Nicky Riewoldt, the former captain of St Kilda, about some of those big issues bubbling away in the US. Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green, and a young bloke who's taking the basketball scene by storm, Zion the Lion. Nick Riewoldt's next. Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Lee Montagna here with Jay Clark, and joining us now, Jay, live from the US, thanks to Sports Where I Am. If you're heading to the US and want to head to the NFL, the NBA, or any of the other sports, you can get your tickets from sportswhereiam.com. Is my good mate, who I haven't spoken to for a while, Nick Riewoldt. Rui, thanks for joining us, mate. How is life in the States?
It's good, mate. We can't be that good of mates if you haven't called me for a month.
You don't answer your phone, mate.
Hey, Rui.
Mate, I understand. You've got the young family. You're all hands on deck.
Rui, I want a holiday like yours, mate, because I follow you on Instagram, of course. I see you like hanging out on the trees with your beautiful young children in your cowboy hats and your cowboy boots and your big belts, mate. You are living the life of a cat. Like you're a full ranch style at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, life's a little bit different over here. I really enjoy it, though. It's been great. Great for the kids to be able to sort of live two separate lives, completely different. So they're doing a lot of growing up and a bit of time out at the ranch. Thanksgiving next week, so plenty of fun to be had. I'm on the Lee Montagna diet, though, at the moment. I'm struggling a little bit without the exercise of a pre-season.
And the beauty, really, of being in America this time of year is there's plenty of sport happening, the NBA, NFL, and, of course, the college sports. Let's start with a bit of NFL because it's fascinating for us over here what's happened with Le'Veon Bell. And for those that don't know, he's probably one of the top five players in the competition, the NFL, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's not going to play at all this season and knocking back an astronomical amount of money. Can you please explain to us what's happened there?
Yeah, it's staggering, really. He's the best running back in the league and has been for a number of years. And based on that, he really just wants a long-term deal. The problem for running backs, that position, they just get absolutely smashed. So teams are generally reluctant to give them big long-term contracts and guaranteed money. So he has given up this year $14.5 million and has refused to show up to his team's facility at any stage. And now it's past the point where he can actually do that. It's really backfired on him because his replacements played really well. His teammates have all turned on him. But he just didn't want to jeopardise getting a long-term deal by getting smashed up this year. So it'll all play out over the off-season in the NFL. But huge amount of money to give up, $14.5 million. I'm not sure he'll even be able to recoup that over the term of a long contract. Plus, the Steelers are a chance to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. So.
Wow.
It's been interesting. It's absolutely dominated the headlines over here. And as you said, it's just so great being here. And every night there's something on, whether it's college sport, the NBA, the NFL. It's a great time to be here.
Rui, I remember you as captain, mate. You were a very stern man. I reckon if you were his captain, you'd be able to talk him around, no doubt about that. Hey, can I ask you about Cameron Johnson and Michael Dixon? Am I right in saying that the two best punters in the NFL at the moment are both former footballers from Australia?
Yeah, pretty close. Michael Dixon in particular, out at the Seahawks. Pete Carroll, the coach, has come out and basically said if a punter could win the MVP, well, then he'd be ours because his ability to change the field and to change field position for the Seahawks has been been really important. And it's great to see so many young Aussie guys as well. We've got a teammate, Joey Aaron-Sipos, who's punting for Auburn University in the SEC. So we are pretty well renowned over here for our kicking skills. And, yeah, those two boys are doing it really well at the highest level.
And, Jay, I did see vision that Rui sent me of his young boy, James, kicking the football over in America at the moment. I don't know if Rui's trying to teach him to play AFL or if he wants him to be a punter in the NFL. So I'm not sure what your plans are there, Rui, which you would prefer him to do, play AFL or be a punter in the NFL?
Options open.
It'd be good for the bank account to be a punter. They don't get touched. But interesting, you go up to the park and all the kids, you know, start throwing the footy together and James comes out and starts booting it around. It's just, I guess, the two cultures colliding, but he's having a lot of fun doing it.
Rui, can you stick with us? Because we want to chat basketball. We want to chat about this college superstar, Zion Williamson. It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
And Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and the St Kilda superstar Lee Montagna. We have another St Kilda legend on the line, Nick Riewoldt, of course, from Sports Where I Am, your one-stop shop for all your US sporting tickets. This thing is absolutely perfect. Rui, can I ask you about the massive basketball brouhaha in the NBA at the moment? It's blown up the best team in the competition, the Golden State Warriors, because Kevin Durant has had a problem with Draymond Green, and it's spilled out, you know, onto the court mid-match. It went into the locker room. It's just extraordinary scenes. What's been the reaction over there, mate, and who do you feel like the public are siding with? Is it Draymond Green, who's gotten the face of Kevin Durant, or Durant, who's one of the most beloved figures in American basketball?
No, I feel like it's gone the other way, and thank goodness, because it's actually made the Warriors interesting, because they've been so boring to watch, because they're just so much better than everyone.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like they've all sided with Draymond. I still think there's this just underlying resentment towards Kevin Durant based on his decision to go to the Warriors, and a lot of people saw that as the easy way out. So any chance to bash them, they sort of tend to pile into him pretty quick. And, it's interesting. They got absolutely smashed by the Rockets last night, the first time that Draymond and KD have been back on the court together. And I was pretty happy about that, being a Rockets fan. But a lot of people were really critical today of Kevin Durant's response. And he was asked about it in a post-game interview, and we're all on the other side now in the media, so we can hop right into him. But he basically told the journalists, "Don't ask me that. Don't talk to me about that." And a lot of people have jumped on that as well, as you know, as viewing him as being a bit of a sook. So definitely on Draymond's side on this one.
I caught that from Ross Lyon once. So you won a final, and then I said, "Oh, what about your next opponents, you know, versus such and such?" And he goes, "Oh, Jay, please give me some respite. You know, we've just played a game, so I know what that feels like."
That doesn't sound like Rossi.
But it is interesting about the whole free agency discussion, because the reason apparently why Draymond got in his face, because Kevin Durant is opening up, potentially leaving the Golden State Warriors. And if we have that in the AFL, that might be an issue where a player will say to another player, "Well, leave then. If you don't want to be here, don't play for us." And that's where the issue is in the NBA. Rui, before we let you go, just the last one about this college freak named Zion Williamson. They are talking about him as being the next LeBron James. He is unbelievable. 6'7", 125 kilos, but he is a freak athlete. He's as fast as anyone can jump. Tell us about the reaction to him. Is he potentially the next LeBron James coming through in the NBA?
Well, Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, certainly thinks so. He said in an interview recently that he thought LeBron James was a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, but he's about to be proven wrong, and he's just playing a different game, Zion Williamson. The massive size, 130 kilos. To put that into perspective, Buddy Franklin's about the same height, and he's 105 kilos.
Wow.
And this bloke's head is basically touching the rim when he's dunking, and he's just playing a different game. It's men against boys in college, and even when he gets to the NBA, he's probably going to be even better suited to it because of the explosive nature of the game. So really, really exciting. A lot of fun to watch. A lot of people talking about it. I go to a little gym up the road, and you go in, and if Duke have played the night before, it's pretty much all anyone wants to talk about is this freak. And he was at another level in high school, but people wondered how it was going to translate. And he certainly hasn't disappointed. He's just a freak athlete.
So sounds like an absolute lock for the number one pick for next year, Zion. Hey, Rui, mate, thanks so much for joining us. We love checking in with you about the overseas sports, and good luck for the horse riding or the lassoing or whatever it is that you're up
and
to
give
today.
Us, give us a call at some stage, Rui. Be good to chat.
Good on you, mate.
Oh, he's a good man, the former St Kilda captain, Nick Rewell, just enjoying things over there with his beautiful family. Hey, Joey, in the second hour, mate, we're going to speak to Mark Bosnich, ahead of the Socceroos game tonight, and a big AGM coming up for them on Monday. We're going to talk about the big draft decision St Kilda face, AFLX, this new concept that's going to hit us, and a big dilemma I have with a wedding coming up next year. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Get ready, Melbourne, for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert, Joey. Catch Anthony, Flea, John and Chad playing their huge and unbelievable catalogue of hits.
The all-time great songs like Scar Tissue, Californication, Suck My Kiss, yes. Aeroplane, Around the World, and so many more. American Express card members have first access to tickets. Pre-sales start 10 a.m. next Wednesday.
Oh, lucky I got one, Joey. The Red Hot Chili Peppers at Rod Laver Arena on February 28th. See amexinvites.com.au for all the details. Everything you need on the sports scene. It's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna here with you on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Joe, we got a big second hour ahead. Mark Bosnich coming up. Talk soccer, of course. Aren't the Matildas going well? And then we're going to talk some footy later, of course. The big draft call St Kilda is facing. What's happening with the AFLX? There's this new concept. Maybe even the potential of a little veterans team starting up, Joey, in case you're plotting a comeback. We'll get to some AFL news, and that's a little bit later. But can I tell you, Joey and Rosie, you've really been looking forward to this Byron Bay wedding coming up March next year. Great mates, and my best mates are going up there. We're planning a big week up there in Noosa, and really Byron Bay, I should say, and celebrate this lovely wedding. But can you imagine my dismay during the week when the announcements on Triple M, of course, Rosie, my favourite band in the world, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, announced their Australian New Zealand tour. It's been 12 years since they come back out here. The last time they come out here, I'm sleeping in the street as a 22-year-old down in Geelong to make sure I'm front row with the Geelong sort of ticket tech to get my tickets to make sure I get there. I've travelled all around Australia to see these guys. I'm still playing their music. I absolutely love them. So the concert dates get released, and sure enough, Saturday, March 2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mount Tanita State, playing in Geelong. Where I'm from, what could be better than that, except that I'm going to be 1,000 k's away up there.
It's going to be an amazing concert, Mount Tanita, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
February 28 one as well, you've been talking about, the Rod Laver show.
Yeah, there's the and that would be amazing too, but we've planned this big week-long celebration of this magnificent wedding. So I'm basically going to miss the Melbourne and Geelong Red Hot Chili Peppers concerts, but I've come up with it.
Well, what day is the actual wedding?
Well, it's Saturday.
Which is the...
Saturday. March 2.
March 2.
Which is the... I see. You think I should go to the show on Thursday night and then fly in on the Friday, Rosie?
How close are you?
Oh, he's a great mate. I love Nick Coombs. I'm sure he'll be
If he's a great mate, he'll understand if you go to Red Hot Chili Peppers. Now, even Rosie, you know that
concert.
I'm not a massive concert. Even I'm going to the Mount Dunedin concert, Red Hot Chili Peppers. My mum messaged me yesterday and said, Christmas present, would you like, because she can get early access, and I wondered how, but now because of the American Express card member, my mum's going to get me two tickets for Christmas to Mount Dunedin, so I'm even going. I can't believe you are not going to go and watch your favourite band in the world.
Come up with a plan B. I think we go up to Queensland early. I've been already campaigning this with my wife, and we go to the Brisbane show on the Monday, and then drop down to Byron on the Wednesday, so best of both worlds. And
what do you do with the kids?
Give them away,
Good, Rosie. There is also a Sydney show, of course, Tuesday 19th of February. Now, my wife doesn't know about that one just yet, but I'm going to try and campaign hard and maybe go to Sydney and Brisbane because I'm going to miss out on the two Victorian shows. Does that sound reasonable? Been working hard this year.
Oh, wow.
Do you think, Joey?
I'd go good to Mount Dunedin. Where are you from? Geelong, beautiful estate there. Yeah. That's the one. Don't worry about the wedding.
The wedding probably won't last anyway.
Yeah, weddings.
No, it'll be a magnificent wedding. I love both of them. Stop this. They'll be listening. I might have to clean the gutters, though, or do something pretty courageous on the house front to get this plan over the line. Who would you see, Joe? If you could go to any concert in the world, question without notice, who would you want tickets to go see tomorrow?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, get stuffed.
I'm going to go. I can't wait.
Rosie?
Same.
Oh.
Yeah. See you there,
I don't like either of you. Hey, we're going to talk some soccer next because there's a big game on tonight and it's the first Socceroos game under Graham Arnold, I believe. So we're going to be seeing for Australia. So we're going to be seeing a newish sort of game plan, I think. We're going to ask Big Bozza about that next. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Joey, it's Jay Clark and Lee Montagna with you until 12 o'clock. Now, we've got soccer royalty on the line. It's fair to say, Joey, we're speaking about great Australian Socceroos before. This man's name is certainly right up the pointy end. Good morning to you, Mark Bosnich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are fantastic. Bozza, the big Socceroos game tonight, of course. Our boys take on South Korea tonight at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. And it's a big game because we're seeing this transition, aren't we? Ange Postecoglou to Graham Arnold. Are you expecting a new look, a new style? How's this team going to play under the new boss?
I'm definitely expecting a little bit of a change of style. If we're going off the past in terms of what Graham's done during his club tenure and comparison to our Ange approach to games, Graham's a little bit more conservative in terms of the way that he plays, which is fine as well because international football, and as we saw in the World Cup, a lot is about that. But in terms of a great change from the actual structure of the side, the way they play, I don't think it'll be too much different. Graham Arnold is very adaptable, so he'll have plan A, plan B, plan C all ready to go. But the most important thing about tonight is this is basically the second last game, the penultimate game, until we go to our Asian Cup, which is in January. So I think that's a very, very important thing to look at in terms of basically the personnel. So I believe that tonight you'd probably see about 8 or 9 of the players that will start tonight that will probably start as in that first game when we go to the Asian Cup in January.
What about, Bozza, the talk about who will captain the Socceroos? Obviously, we know Mile Jednak is retired. There's been some names, Milligan, Sainsbury. Who do you think should be the captain going forward for the Socceroos?
Well, first and foremost, a very good question, but in our sport, it's not as important who the captain is. It's more just basically it's a link in terms of the manager to one of the playing personnel. There's obviously a lot more press things these days than there was in the past. But in terms of on-field, it's nothing like, say, for example, the captain of the cricket team. Me personally, I would go for Trent Sainsbury.
Mm-hmm.
But just a little caveat, I think people ought to know and to realise that Trent is Graham Arnold's son-in-law. I haven't
really
got a problem with that. Yeah, I haven't got a problem with that. But I don't know, there might be a few people who may, but I think that should be made notice to everyone so everyone knows that. But for me, like I said, it's no problem for me. I think he'd be an ideal player to captain the side.
Hey, Bozza, what about the Tim Cahill farewell match, I guess, against Lebanon at ANZ Stadium in Sydney? What sort of emotion is this going to evoke? I mean, well, it's obviously a huge occasion for one of the absolute legends of Australian soccer. Do you think the boys will be wanting to honour that occasion?
Yeah, I think they definitely will be. And from a joking perspective, and I emphasise I'm joking here, what type of emotion? Everyone will probably be saying, that's about time, Tim.
Yeah, true.
But look, he'll get 5 or 10 minutes or so, and it's a wonderful gesture from the FFA, from Graham Arnold and everybody involved. There has been a lot of people saying, oh, why and all that. Look, we're not talking about anyone. He's our greatest goal scorer and our greatest capped outfield player. So I think it's only right that he deserves, that he's been given that send-off against Lebanon. Like I said, he'll only be on for 5, maximum 10 minutes, so no problem. And of course, the boys will want to give him a good sending off, but the bottom line is if they can't beat Lebanon, they may as well consider pulling out of that Asian Championship.
It's a good point, Bozza, and we know that Timmy Cahill will move on. He's been one of our greatest, and we will ask you in a minute who has been the Socceroos' greatest ever player. But what about the striker situation for Australia? Is that an area that we're lacking that a real elite striker that can take us to the next level, do you think? Because we've got Tommy Durich, but do you think we need someone else?
When you say lacking, it's difficult because Tim is retiring, so he's pretty much taken care of that role for quite some time. And before that, we had arguably the greatest player of all time in Mark Viduka that we've ever had.
Ooh.
Harry Kuehl's been there and thereabouts. People like Josh Kennedy. We've had a lot of John Aloisi, a lot of great players that played in that. So I think it's a bit unfair to say lacking. I think what will happen is as well, the fact that Timmy's going to retire, regardless how good Timmy is around the boys, it still would be a little bit of a shadow for some of them and a little bit intimidating when he's there and thereabouts. And I think when you see him retire, I think you'll see a lot of people take up the reins and say, like, listen, I'm the man for this, I can do this. So I think that will provide a wonderful opportunity. And in terms of strikers, it's the hardest position on the pitch. And that's why, with a few exceptions, that they're the most well-paid people wherever they are. And it's not easy, especially in international football when you're playing against, you know, elite defenders and teams that generally do get all behind the ball. It's not an easy job at all.
Bozza, I'm playing at the corporate games here in Melbourne later this afternoon, mate. I think I'm going to put a couple in the back of the onion bag, it's fair to say, and I'll play up, play up front. Hey, interesting you said you think Mark Viduka is the greatest Socceroo. We're having that debate before. Is that clear, Carter? I thought Kuehl maybe.
Well, him and Harry. Yeah, him and Harry. And this is no disrespect to anyone else. Yep. And I think Timmy's done the best job out of anyone for Australia.
Yeah.
But I don't want people to mistake that for saying the greatest player. Because he's, and no disrespect to Timmy, but he
legend.
You know, he'd do very well to get in the top five. But Mark Viduka and Harry Kuehl, the players that I played with and were around, by far and away two of the best players that we've ever produced.
And I thought you were pretty good on and off the pitch too, Bozza. So you brought an all-round game.
I'm a goalkeeper. I'm a goalkeeper, different story. And I don't like to embarrass them and say that I was the best.
it's when this a big AGM happens on Monday, mate. I want to stick your hand up. I want to see you run Australian soccer and sort out that mess.
Well, I told them I would, but unfortunately they've gone all democratic. Because I said to them, look, I said, if I run it, I said, you know, my first port of call will be to say to the rest of the board, go in the corner and argue with each other. When you agree with me, come back and tell me. I said, but obviously they've gone the other way. They're going to go democratic way, so that's not for me.
Oh, you're an absolute legend, Bozza. We love catching up with you on the Fox Sports, of course, doing a magnificent job. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on the Dead Set Legends.
Take care, guys.
What an absolute star, Mark Bosnich. He is, of course, big games coming up for the Socceroos. And he actually said good question to you, Joe.
He did say good question. He watched out the captain one. Thank you.
Hey, next I want to ask you about the Saints' big draft call, whether they should go a key forward or a gun midfielder, and what is going to happen. A very good idea with the AFLX to revitalise that concept. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Get ready, Melbourne, for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert. Not to be missed, Jay. I'm talking to you when I say that. Catch Anthony Flea, John and Chad playing their huge catalogue of hits.
And what a magnificent catalogue it is. Joey, songs like Scar Tissue, Californication, Suck My Kiss, Aeroplane, Around the World, Sold a Squeeze even, so many more. American Express card members have first access to tickets, Joey, and the pre-sale starts 10 a.m. next Wednesday.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers at Rod Laver Arena, February 28th. See amexinvites.com.au for all the details.
Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and the St Kilda champ, Lee Montagna.
Just
Joey.
Talking about our first cassettes that we bought and on the back of Queen, because I said Queen was the first CD I bought.
Yes.
My first cassette was Bryan Adams, Summer of 69. Yes. I still remember. What was yours, Rosie?
All the Hits, 86. Because I only had like $10 or whatever the cost of cassettes were, but yeah. I wanted, you know, the variety, and had the Cure on there,
just
and
the best
all
of.
Sorts of things.
Very good. Jay?
Be embarrassed about this, Joey.
Would you?
The Lion King soundtrack.
How old were you?
22.
Joey. Oh, I've been
good.
14.
Good daylight. That's some good songs, aren't The Lion King?
Oh, boy. but you have seen the movie. Rosie, the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Cannot
movie.
Recommend it highly enough. I loved A Star Is Born as well. That's an excellent film too. But yep. Bohemian Rhapsody, I gave it an 11 out of 5.
Why is it so cool?
Oh, just the music and just the way that Rami Malek has emulated Freddie.
Perfect.
Phenomenal. Yeah, yeah. And especially the last 10 minutes of the film, whatever. It's literally the Live Aid concert. And if you watch them side by side, phenomenal.
Wow,
but just great to hear all the music. And I've gone out and, you know, filled my collection. I've had a few albums, but yeah.
Yeah.
Filling the gaps.
Got goosebumps. Not that you and I get out to the movies.
It's hard to get to the movies now, isn't it? I'm realising that.
Rosie, can you want to babysit four kids?
Yeah.
Sure, what could possibly go wrong?
Let's talk some footy. Can I mean, they be dancing the Queen. Anyway, hey, it's the draft next Thursday and Friday night, Joey. Now, I reckon one of the most interesting calls any club is going to make is St Kilda, because they got pick 4, which is a beauty of a pick, an absolute gem of a pick, and they're in this potentially awkward situation where the best player at that pick is the 204-centimetre key forward in Max King. Nothing against Max King. He could be an absolute star, but a key forward is probably not what St Kilda need. They got Josh Bruce, Paddy McCartan, Rowan Marshall, Tim Embry, Josh Battle, etc. What would you like St Kilda to do at that pick number four.
Yeah, look, as a St Kilda fan, I'm a bit nervous about taking these 200-centimetre key forwards. And it's, I know there's a lot of hype about them, and I'm sure they're going to be very good players. But it's just a risk taking them so early in the draft. And you only have to look back into previous years. And you go to 2013, Tom Boyd and Cam McCarthy were the first two tall forwards taken in that draft. 2014 was Paddy McCartan. Obviously, St Kilda took him, who's yet to get his straps. He still might get that. And Peter Wright, 2-metre Peter.
Establish himself.
Same with 2-metre Peter. Yep. In 2015, Jacob Wiedering, who played as a forward, as a junior, and Josh Shackey. So none of those yet have actually really come through as key forwards. Harry McKay and Sam Wiedemann are another couple. Still yet, and the last 2 years, there hasn't really been many key forwards taken in the first top 10, top 15 picks. And I'm just wondering whether clubs are now just taking a bit of a set against the risk of a key forward and just taking a gun mid with your top pick in picks, the top 10, top 5, because you know you're going to get a bona fide good AFL player with a midfielder. I'm a bit nervous. You're right. St Kilda don't necessarily need the key position players.
It's too tall down there anyway, aren't they?
I'd rather take the best midfielder in the draft. I know there's a lot of hype around these King boys. I've just got a bit of my own thoughts that sometimes there may be the form of these key position players at under 18 level is a bit overrated because they're just bigger and better than their opponents at junior level. They play inside 50. The style of football is more one-on-one. They don't get the third man across and that team defence system you get at AFL level. So maybe they look a bit better as a junior than when they get to senior level and all of a sudden have to start playing on Alex Rance and the best key defenders in the competition. So I know it's a tough one. I know these King boys are very, very good from all reports, but as a St Kilda man, I would like to see the club just take the best midfielder.
And we heard Shifter Sheehan say only an hour ago that this guy could be Tom Lynch or Joey Danaher, that sort of athleticism. So when you hear that he could be a next Joe Danaher, you don't want to miss that sort of player.
And that is no doubt the conundrum for the club. You don't want to miss a once-in-a-generation time player, but it's also the risk. You have seen these other young key forwards not develop into what they thought, and I'm sure all these top five draft picks in previous years were touted as going to be generational type players. They haven't lived up to it yet.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of a knock on these tall position players, especially the key forwards?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. Yeah. What do you think?
I think they might be swayed at the last minute to go a midfielder. Right. And I think, he's a Bayside boy. He's in there. He's sort of heart and soul. He's been at the club all year. I think all year their plan is to lock him away. But just the way their forward line is already stacking up, with some height there already, I just don't know how it all fits.
But what about if down the track he turns out to be this as good as what they say and then the club regrets it? It's a tough call. And that's why we look forward to draft night Thursday night to see who not only St Kilda, but all the other clubs, especially in the top 10, who they take and how their careers will end up panning out.
Recruiting, who would do it? It's a stressful business. Hey, next, Joe, I'm going to ask you about AFLX. Who would be your first pick if you were a captain of a team who could take anyone in the league for this February tournament? It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, more footy next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Get ready, Melbourne, for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert. Catch Anthony Flea, John and Chad playing their huge catalogue, Joey, of hits.
Songs like Scar Tissue, Californication, Suck My Kiss, Aeroplane, Around the World, and so many more. American Express card members have first access to tickets. Pre-sales start 10 a.m. next Wednesday.
Circle that in your diary. The Red Hot Chili Peppers at Rod Laver Arena on February 28. See amexinvites.com.au for all the details. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Run to Paradise by the Choir. Absolute classic, Rosie. You belted out another fantastic playlist once again. I tell you what, Joe, two times of the year I love in Melbourne. I love the tennis in January. Melbourne comes alive. Lots of fun. The bands play, all that. And, of course, the Spring Racing Carnival, which we've just finished in a sobering up from. That was outstanding also, too. But I also like the night noodle market for the next fortnight. Are you a night noodle market person?
I haven't really been a night noodle market person, but that's a good idea, actually. I've got to do more things.
Birrarung Ma, you sit up there on the hill, you have a cider, you get into some Mr. Miyagi or whatever, some little noodles. They do clever takeoffs on things. It's brilliant. You been there, Rosie?
No, that's on my list, but I do like the Queen Victoria Wednesday night market as well. Oh, so there's lots of things to do. And South Melbourne has one on a Thursday, probably starting soon.
It's
lots
of things to do. Street food.
Oh, I love street food.
It is a great time of year. This daylight saving, you get, beautiful. Yeah.
It's going to be 26 degrees in Melbourne too. So night middle market tomorrow afternoon. Going to be absolutely fantastic. Hey, Some more footy news or footy chat here, Joey. The AFLX concert.
Yeah, what's happening with that?
It's going to get a bit of a revamp, we think. So the AFL haven't expertly or expressly confirmed this just yet, but instead of going just like normal club teams, they might pick four superstars. That could be Paddy Dangerfield, Lance Franklin, Nat Fyfe, and Dusty. And in a sort of like all-star game concept, these guys pick their own team.
Right.
And so they got, you know, seven players on the field, 10 players per squad, and they go at it in a mini round robin at Marvel Stadium, have a bit of fun in February. And
just make it a one night, one day, one full night, just a big sort of party all day.
Because previously, you know, the top liners don't want to play. They don't want to get injured. There's not a huge amount of money on the line. Now the AFL are putting in the cash. So $50,000 to the captain, perhaps. They've got to pick out some of their teammates or some players they love, and they just go at it in the shortened format. Do you like that idea?
I'm not sure. Not sure about the concept. It seems just a bit of a...
gimmicky.
Like a bit of an all-star sort of style. We know State of Origin. A lot of people want that to come back, but the clubs... and the players themselves are
wary.
They're wary because if you're going to play State of Origin, you've got to play fair dinkum. And there's just
Joey,
too
what
much
if I was going to give you 10 grand to play?
To play what?
Two 20-minute games. 10 grand to play two 20-minute games.
I think this format, players are probably more inclined to play because of the less...
Suddenly you're interested, Joey.
Well, only because it's less physical. I think players would consider it, absolutely. You might not get everyone. There'd be a lot of players in different stages of their pre-season, but you'd certainly get a lot of the good players to play if you could offer them some money to play in it.
Right. If you were... Paddy Dangerfield, Franco, Fifey, or Dusty, can I ask you, who would be in the AFL competition, who would be your first two players picked to play AFLX? Who, if you were Lance Franklin, who were the first players you must
play
have on
AFLX?
Your team?
Well, you've got to go someone quick, someone with some speed, a dominant player. Oh, you know what? I'd take Adam Treloar. He would dominate AFLX, Adam Treloar.
Hot dog Treloar.
Oh, he would run up and down the ground and just link up and get the ball 55 times and kick plenty of goals. I'd take Treloar.
Yep.
And then we're going to do two, are we?
Yes.
Then I'd take his teammate to go and play forward, kick a lot of the goals, and then sneak up the midfield, Jordan DeGoey.
Oh, of course.
So I'd take, I'll say I'm Dusty. If Dusty's one of the captains, I'd like to see Dusty's pregame speech, by the way. That'd be interesting. But if I was Dusty as captain, I'd go and pick Treloar and DeGoey from the Pies and say, you're in my team.
Right. I want some versatile players. Players can play the midfield, can play defence, play forward, really run around the ground. I'm going to have Marcus Bontempelli in the centre. He's going to extract everything. He can go forward, he can pluck, he can kick goals.
He's good in traffic, though. That's why he's so good. He gets himself out. There's no traffic in AFL. Well, it's open spaces.
Well, he's got some. There are some stoppages. He can use the pill. You think back to the 2016 grand final. What? All of his possessions were effective.
Absolutely.
He is an absolute superstar. My second pick, and you won't be expecting this.
Yep.
Because this guy's a little bit off-Broadway, Isaac Heaney. Again, versatile plus. Can play in the midfield.
I thought maybe Isaac Smith.
Isaac Heaney,
yeah.
Take hangers up forward.
Hangers?
You want some excitement.
When have you seen a hanger in AFLX?
Well, I didn't watch it that closely.
Fair enough. Yeah, all right.
Last year.
I'd take my team to beat yours.
If you get that, you're sitting in the car now. Who would be the two players you must have?
Speed. Imagine Treloar. No one would touch him.
Yeah, you still need to use the pill. I mean, he improved his...
Still need to use the pill. Oh, what are you saying?
No, I'd have Pendlebury. That's who I'd have.
Oh, of course you'd have Pendlebury. Rosie, of course.
I can't believe
you wouldn't pick Pendlebury.
If there was a veterans team, like a masters team, before we go to the break, would you be interested in something like this, Joey? Or who would you have from like a retired ex-player?
How much money? Oh, we'd have a great team. Oh, I'd get Boomer Harvey, for sure. He'd still dominate. He'd run around and...
He wouldn't take it seriously.
I'd pick Rui. Rui'd go forward and we'd just kick the ball along to Rui.
How would BJ go?
Who else would... BJ could
play.
Would
he take it seriously?
Of course he would. Yeah. Just wait for my give me a spell. What else? There'd be heaps of the past players that we get. Maybe Stevie J, even though he's put on a few kegs, he could still be quite creative.
And I'm sure you think the old boys would beat the young blokes.
Absolutely. Juddy, I'd get Juddy out of retirement. He'd still burn it up.
Oh, that'd be good to see. Hey, next up, I have got the best give me a spell for the year. You will not believe the someone tried to put over me throughout the week on the home renovation front. This has to be heard to be believed. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, more next, the Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Hey, I've got an absolute beauty. It is time for...
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
You know it. This is where we take aim at someone, give someone a clip, or just ask something generally to lift. Rosie, kick us off.
We were talking about our first cassettes before. Joey, you had Queen. I had 1986 All the Hits. And Jay Clark. you had the Lion King. Give me a spell. Mate.
Very good.
You just discovered tea recently too. What's going on?
Oh, Jay.
Oh, I had a challenging childhood.
Give me a spell.
It's fair to say we were right into our Disney movies at the time, and I obviously clearly really loved Elton John, or something happened. Well, anyway, Joey,
Mike, give me a spell. I'm taking aim at my social basketball team.
Yes.
Wednesday nights at MSAC.
Who's
led, by Brendan Goddard.
Yep.
Because I didn't play the other week, obviously, but they played a team and they decided to defeat them by over 100 points.
No.
But what they did is they did the full court press. Now, we've got a pretty athletic team. I've got some guys in my team that have, you know, played a bit of sport, quite athletic. There's Brendan Goddard and Jimmy Magna, who played a little bit of footy at Melbourne, a few other guys. Well, they were playing against a team of uni friends who were studying medicine.
Uni students.
Let's put it nicely, weren't quite as athletic as a team as mine. But they decided to go into full court press mode.
You're kidding.
Steal the ball, turn it over, and defeated them by 105 points. Give me a spell, boys. Like, give them a bit of a chance. Play a zone. Actually make it a bit of a fun game. No, they were too competitive, the boys. They couldn't help themselves and ended up winning by 105 points. Give me a spell. Come on, boys.
No one in their car at the moment is going to be surprised to hear that BJ Goddard takes his mixed Wednesday night basketball team.
They should have said
it.
They were doing a full court press on this team. They couldn't even bring the ball up the court. Give me a spell, boys.
Should bring along some pretzels after a game and just see how that goes, just for some fun. Hey, I had quite a significant incident throughout the week, guys. I'm still recovering from this. Like, we had a bit of a block sewer. Happens occasionally. You know, I didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. You call out the plumber and he's sort of fix it up and we'd be on our way. He says, Jay, we got a big problem here. He says, you might actually have to think about selling your house over this because it's that bad. I'm like, what are you talking about, mate? Just do your thing and, you know, $500 and we're sweet. He said, mate, you got a $30,000 problem. He said, your main sewer line, which is 5 meters deep, basically next to the house, runs 25 meters. It's cactus. It's cracked right through. It's blocked all the way through. It's about to collapse. I'm not even sure my business would take this on. It's so risky, but we've got to reline it, and it's seriously, it's going to cost you 30 grand.
Oh, no.
I've been down through, you guys, I've checked it with the camera, the whole thing's shot. Can we get a new pipe or whatever? Nah, mate, you got to try and fix this one, and seriously, if you don't do it, it's going to collapse and your whole house is going to fall over. So we spent 24 hours, like myself and my wife, Jane, were like,
freak out.
30 grand? I'm a humble journalist from Geelong, Joe. I don't have that sort of cash. What are we going to do? My very smart wife says, we better get a second opinion, of course, and we'll get someone else to come in. So we caught a mate, Johnny Anderson, says, call this guy, Martin. Martin puts me on to Honest Jim from Drain Pro. He comes out, puts his camera through, and he says, mate, I can fix it for you in $500. That bloke is trying to do a job on you. There's nothing wrong with your pipe. Come here, have a look. It's perfectly sound. There are roots getting through on one spot. I can chop that out, and you'll be good for 18 months, and we can fix it up again. He said, that dude's totally trying to do you over. 30 grand, Joey. We were having...
Give me a spell.
We were laying eggs for 24 hours. Give me a bloody spell, Ben. My goodness. You just totally tried to stitch us up.
Stitch up.
So
well done by your wife, though. Second opinion. Very smart.
That was important. So thank you to Honest Jim from Drain Pub. But I don't have that sort of coin just laying around.
Don't you?
No.
30
no.
grand.
A few more podcasts you need
mate,
to do.
We couldn't have all played 14 seasons at St Kilda.
Well, we've got 30 seconds to go, so before we need to finish...
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend!
Dead Set Legend, only a little fella, but it goes to my son, Noah. Because I said at the top of the show, he was a nightmare on the flight over to the Gold Coast. He had a rough few nights, but on the way home, he was a little champion on the flight. And then not only that, we got home last night, we're exhausted. 9:30, he went to bed. He didn't wake up. He slept right through till 6:30 this morning. We had 9 hours fresh, clean sleep. Well done, Noah.
Legend.
Dead set champion. Yeah, dead set legend of the week.
Well
That's
done.
All I got time for. It's been another great show. This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Get ready, Melbourne, for the Red Hot Chili Peppers live in concert. Catch Anthony Flea, John and Chad playing their huge catalogue, Joey, of hits.
Songs like Scar Tissue, Californication, Suck My Kiss, Aeroplane, Around the World, and so many more. American Express card members have first access to tickets. Pre-sales start 10 a.m. next Wednesday.
Circle that in your diary. The Red Hot Chili Peppers at Rod Laver Arena on February 28. See amexinvites.com.au for all the details.